Welcome back, everybody. Today, we're going to be taking a deep dive into the world of commercial real estate law with a case that's all about groceries and competition and really just the power of a well-drafted lease.
Yes.
We're going to be unpacking Windixie v. Dolgen Corp., a Florida case that really puts those sometimes overlooked clauses called restrictive covenants in the spotlight.
Yeah, and what's so important about this case is that it clarifies how these covenants work in Florida.
All right.
Especially when it comes to shopping centers. We're talking about, you know, those clauses that say things like only one pizza place allowed or no competing coffee shops within a certain radius.
Okay, so we've all seen these clauses.
Yeah.
But why should we as lawyers or even, you know, future lawyers really care about them? I mean, they seem like just a bunch of legal jargon buried in a long contract.
Because believe me, these covenants can make or break a business, and understanding the nuances can be crucial for your clients.
Yeah.
So imagine this. Your client pours their heart and soul into opening a specialty bakery, only to have a massive supermarket open up next door, undercutting their prices on every single pastry.
Oh, wow.
Restrictive covenants are there to prevent that kind of scenario and ensure fair competition.
So in this case, we have Winn-Dixie, the grocery store chain, trying to protect their turf.
Exactly. Let's break down the timeline, because the sequence of events is key here.
Okay.
Back in 1996, Winn-Dixie snagged a lease as the anchor tenant at Crest Haven Plaza in Florida.
And being the anchor tenant usually means you have some pull during negotiations, right? They're the big draw that brings customers to the entire plaza.
Absolutely. It's a symbiotic relationship, and that leverage often translates into favorable lease terms, including exclusivity clauses.
Right.
And Winn-Dixie's lease had a pretty specific one.
Okay.
They got exclusive rights to sell groceries in the entire plaza with a tiny 500-square-foot exception for other tenants.
Mm.
Think more of a small convenience section, not a full-blown grocery aisle.
Okay, so far so good. Winn-Dixie's sitting pretty with their grocery kingdom secured.
Right.
But then things get interesting in 1998 when Dolgen Corp., the parent company of Dollar General, enters the picture.
Dolgen Corp signs a lease for their own store in the same plaza.
Okay.
Initially, it seems like everything is fine until Winn-Dixie discovers that Dolgen Corp's grocery section is way bigger than the allowed 500 square feet. And that's when the legal drama unfolds.
So Winn-Dixie takes them a tort.
You bet. Winn-Dixie files a lawsuit against both Dolgen Corp and the landlord, arguing that they both violated the restrictive covenant. Now, here's where it gets really interesting for us legal eagles. The trial court actually sided with Dolgen Corp.
Mm.
But the appellate court completely overturned that decision. And the reason behind this reversal boils down to a key legal distinction.
Right.
The definition of a real property covenant.
Okay, so this is where we dive into the nitty-gritty of legal definitions.
Yes.
What exactly is a real property covenant, and why did it make all the difference in this case?
This is crucial for anyone dealing with real estate law. A real property covenant isn't just a contract between two people. It's a promise that's attached to the land itself.
Hmm.
It's like an invisible set of rules that binds everyone who uses the property, even if they weren't the original signatories.
So even though Dolgen Corp wasn't part of that initial agreement between Winn-Dixie and the landlord, they were still bound by its terms because it was tied to the property itself.
Precisely. It's like buying a house with an HOA agreement already in place.
Right.
You might not have been the one who agreed to those HOA rules originally, but you're still obligated to follow them because they're attached to the property.
Right.
And that's exactly what tripped up Dolgen Corp in this case.
That makes sense. But how did the court determine that Winn-Dixie's exclusivity clause actually qualified as this special kind of covenant, a real property covenant? It seems like there's a lot of room for interpretation there.
You're right. It's not always clear cut. To figure it out, the appellate court used a three-part test.
Yep.
First, the covenant had to touch and concern the land. In simpler terms, it had to directly affect the use and value of the property.
I see where this is going.
Yeah.
The exclusivity clause was directly related to what types of businesses could operate in the plaza, which obviously affects its value and function.
Yeah.
Allowing unrestricted grocery sales would directly impact Winn-Dixie's lease and potentially harm the entire ecosystem of the shopping center.
Exactly. The second part of the test. There had to be clear intent from both the original landlord and Winn-Dixie that this covenant would be binding on future tenants. And luckily for Winn-Dixie, their lease specifically stated that its provisions would run with the land.
Wow.
They had that base covered.
Smart drafting.
Oh.
Okay, two down, one to go. What was that third and final requirement for the court to consider it a real property covenant?
The third part gets into the realm of notice.
Okay.
The covenant had to be properly communicated or made known to all parties involved, and this is where the concept of constructive notice comes into play.
Okay.
Dolgencorp actually argued that they didn't know about the exclusivity clause when they signed their lease.
But as we all know, ignorance of the law is no excuse, especially when dealing with recorded legal documents.
You got it. And that's what the court pointed out. Hmm. Recording a lease, even a short form, is like broadcasting its contents to the world.
Right.
Everyone is legally presumed to be aware of what's in it, even if they didn't personally review every single page.
So even if Dolgencorp didn't see the full Winn-Dixie lease, the fact that it was recorded meant they were on the hook.
Right.
It's like a public declaration of the rules governing that property.
Exactly. And this is a crucial point for our listeners, especially those working with clients on real estate deals. Recording those leases is not just a formality. It's a vital step in ensuring that everyone who comes onto the property is bound by its rules.
So Dolgencorp can't claim they were in the dark, even if they never personally saw the full lease agreement.
Right.
It all comes down to that recorded document.
Exactly. This case really highlights the importance of constructive notice. It's a fundamental legal principle that protects the integrity of these agreements and prevents parties from claiming ignorance as a defense.
This all seems pretty clear-cut so far.
Right.
But I understand there were also some concurring opinions from the judges involved.
Yes.
Did those add any interesting wrinkles to the case?
Yes. The concurring opinions from Judges Shayhood and Taylor, while agreeing with the overall outcome, emphasize some important points that are worth noting, especially for our lawyer and law student audience.
Okay, let's dive into those. What was Judge Shayhood's main takeaway?
Judge Shayhood really hammered home the responsibility of tenants to do their due diligence.
Right.
It's not enough to just glance at a lease and sign on the dotted line.
Hmm.
Especially for commercial tenants, there's an expectation that they'll thoroughly investigate any existing restrictions on the property.
It's not just about what's explicitly written in your lease, but understanding the broader context of the property and its history. You need to know what you're getting into.
Precisely. And Judge Taylor focused more on the specific wording of the Florida statute that deals with non-compete agreements.
Okay.
They went out of their way to clarify that this particular statute doesn't apply to real property covenants like the one in the Winn-Dixie case.
Interesting. So that reinforces the idea that restrictive covenants tied to real property have a different legal standing than your typical non-compete agreement between individuals.
Exactly. It highlights the importance of understanding the specific legal frameworks surrounding these agreements and not making assumptions based on general statutes.
So, bottom line, the appellate court ultimately ruled in favor of Winn-Dixie, finding that their exclusivity clause was indeed a valid and enforceable real property covenant. What were the practical implications of this decision? What should our listeners, especially those practicing real estate law, take away from this case?
This case is a huge win for clarity and predictability in commercial leasing, especially in Florida. It reaffirms that the law strongly protects these types of agreements, recognizing their importance to the economic stability of shopping centers.
It also serves as a stark reminder that these clauses aren't just legal jargon. They have real-world teeth and can significantly impact businesses, especially when you're dealing with prime real estate in a competitive market like a shopping center.
Absolutely. For lawyers drafting these agreements, it underscores the importance of using clear, unambiguous language. Explicitly stating the intent for these covenants to run with the land is crucial, and of course, as we've discussed, recording those leases is non-negotiable.
Don't let those important documents collect dust in a file cabinet. Make sure they're properly recorded to establish that crucial constructive notice. What about from the tenant's perspective? What lessons can they learn from Winn-Dixie v. Dolgencorp?
For tenants, this case is a cautionary tale about the importance of thorough due diligence. Don't just skim through the lease agreement. Take the time to carefully review every single clause, especially those dealing with restrictive covenants.
It's much easier to address potential issues up front than to deal with a legal battle down the road.
Exactly. And for tenants looking to move into a shopping center, it's crucial to be aware of the potential for anchor tenants, like Winn-Dixie in this case, to have these exclusivity clauses in place. They're common practice and can significantly limit what other businesses can operate within the center.
So if you're thinking of opening a gourmet cookie shop in a plaza that already has a giant supermarket, you'll want to double check if they have an exclusivity clause that covers baked goods. You don't want to be caught off guard.
Precisely. This case emphasizes that being proactive and informed is key when making significant business decisions. Understand the legal landscape, do your research, and don't be afraid to ask questions.
This case really highlights how those seemingly dry legal concepts we discuss in law school can have real-world consequences.
Absolutely. The court's decision in Winn-Dixie v. Dolgen Corp. reinforces the idea that these restrictive covenants play a vital role in fostering predictability and fairness in commercial leasing arrangements, particularly within the complex world of shopping centers.
It's a good reminder that these agreements aren't just legal technicalities. They're the building blocks of our commercial spaces, impacting what businesses thrive where we shop, and ultimately the choices available to consumers. It's about maintaining a balanced and healthy commercial ecosystem for everyone involved.
Well said. But beyond the legal aspects, this case also raises some interesting questions about the broader impact of these exclusivity clauses.
That's a great point. On the one hand, they can be seen as a way to protect existing businesses from unfair competition, creating stability and fostering a predictable business environment. But on the other hand, they could also stifle competition and limit consumer choice by creating a sort of monopoly within a specific shopping center.
Exactly. And it's a complex issue with arguments on both sides. Some might argue that these clauses are necessary to create a level playing field, especially for smaller businesses competing with larger chains. Others might view them as anti-competitive, potentially leading to higher prices and fewer options for consumers.
It's a delicate balancing act between protecting businesses and fostering a competitive market that benefits everyone. It definitely makes you think about the bigger picture, you know, and how these legal decisions can kind of ripple outward, shaping the commercial landscape of our communities.
Absolutely. And it really highlights the responsibility we have as legal professionals to not just, you know, understand the mechanics of the law, but also to consider its broader implications.
Well said.
Okay.
So to wrap up our deep dive into Winn-Dixie v. Dolgen Corp., what are the key takeaways for our listeners, whether they're drafting these agreements, advising clients, or just trying to understand the forces at play in commercial real estate?
I think the biggest lesson here is the power of clarity and precision in legal drafting, you know, especially when it comes to these restrictive covenants.
Right.
Ambiguity is the enemy. Make sure those covenants are explicitly tied to the property state. The intent for them to run with the land and for the love of all that is legally binding, record those leases.
Yeah, it seems like recording those documents is absolutely crucial. It's not just a formality. It's a vital step in establishing that constructive notice we talked about, which protects everyone involved.
Exactly. For tenants, this case really underscores the need for thorough due diligence. You know, don't just take the landlord's word for it. Investigate the property's history, scrutinize that lease agreement, and be aware of any existing restrictive covenants that might impact your business.
It's about being proactive and informed, understanding the rules of the game before you step onto the playing field.
Precisely. And I think it's also worth remembering that these seemingly technical legal concepts have real-world consequences. They shape the landscape of our communities, influencing what businesses can operate, where we shop, and the choices available to us as consumers.
It's a good reminder that the law isn't just an abstract set of rules. It's a living, breathing force that shapes our everyday lives.
Well said. So, the next time you're walking through a shopping center, take a moment to appreciate the complex web of agreements that brought those businesses together. You might even notice a Dollar General with a surprisingly limited grocery section.
Right.
A silent reminder of the impact of Winn-Dixie v. Dolgen Corp.
That's a great image to leave our listeners with. It's a reminder that these legal battles, while often fought behind closed doors, can have lasting effects on the world around us.
Exactly. And it's our job as legal professionals to not just navigate those battles, but to understand their significance and to advocate for outcomes that promote fairness, stability, and a thriving commercial environment for everyone.
Well, thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive into Winn-Dixie v. Dolgen Corp. We'll be back next time with another fascinating case that explores the intersection of law and everyday life.